The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, ESPN App, Sirius XM Channel 80, your smart speaker. Have the Steelers finally passed up the Chiefs on my power rankings? Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Yes, power rankings. They're taking the country by storm. The sports world. I was just thinking one day, how could we spice up rankings in the NFL?
I know.
I'll rank teams during the course of the season. It changes from week to week. What'll I call it? Power rankings. It's snazzy.
Brilliant. But one question before you move on. Did you ever anticipate the rest of the sports world in the country, sports radio, sports TV, did you ever imagine them just stealing, ripping you off, and sometimes trying to change the name the way Stephen A. does, or sometimes calling it power rankings? Did you ever anticipate that, Max?
Raj, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. That's all I can say. That's what I tell myself. And listen, I'll have another great idea that everyone will eventually rip off them.
You know what? We might talk about fantasy football or something, you know? Think about it.
Do a segment on it on the air.
Yeah.
See what I mean? Now we're talking. Now we're thinking. Yeah. We're on to our – everyone else is imitating power rankings. Raj, we're already on to our next great idea. We'll just keep revolutionizing the business.
I like it.
The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Harden and Westbrook headed out of Houston? Jay Will thinks Harden and Westbrook will force their way out of Houston and says Philly is a possibility. Understand. How can I put this without blowing someone's spot? Jay Will, or someone like that, who played in the league, who was a very high draft pick, you know, who is in the media, who knows guys in the league, when he says something, it's not conjecture. The way, you know, you and your friends are hanging out, and it's just pure conjecture. I'm not saying anyone tells Jay Will that, hey, this is what's going to happen. I'm saying you talk to a lot of people, including the people involved, and from what they say, you get a pretty good idea of what's going on. And then there are times where people will just tell you stuff point blank off the record. The point is, sometimes you'll hear someone like Jason Williams on TV say something, you have to read between the lines a little bit. Bart Scott, who was filling in for Keyshawn Johnson on the morning show, says to watch out for Milwaukee to pair Harden with Giannis. That's really interesting. Remember my theory? Let me see if Raj is paying attention. Raj, what's my theory about bigs in the NBA?
A big needs a dynamic or a dominant small.
The small needs to be as great as he is. He needs to be on his level. And I will give you examples. Well, what about Wilt Chamberlain? Wilt Chamberlain had one championship. He was averaging 50 and 25 one year. Averaging. He had one championship until he got to the Lakers, where he got his second championship with Jerry West. Lou Alcindor and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I don't know why I say Lou Alcindor. It's like when people say, hey, Ali, when he was Cassius Clay, but they're referring to him when he already changed his name to Muhammad Ali. But anyway, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. One championship with Oscar Robertson, five with Magic Johnson, zero without them. Shaquille O'Neal, three championships with Kobe, one with a prime Dwayne Wade, zero without them. Not even Penny Hardaway, at his best, was quite good enough. It's got to be an all-world. But what about Hakeem? Yes, in the absence of Michael Jordan, Hakeem grabbed two. Well, he came back the second year. Everyone shut up. Michael Jordan came back for the last 17 games, whatever it was of the season. Didn't have his basketball legs. The next year, he got his legs under him, swept Shaq, and won the championship again and won three more. I mean, look, in the absence of a Jordan-Pippen combination of another, like, super team, Hakeem won one, by the way, with Kenny Smith and a young Robert Horry, Big Shot Bob, right, and a young Sam Cassell, and like they had the best talent in the league that year and the best player in the league in Hakeem, and the next year he got Clyde. So, you know, it just doesn't happen. A big needs another guy just as good as him. Giannis, They're pretending that's going to be Middleton? Middleton is at best the third best player on a championship team. So I was thinking maybe Bradley Beal, but Harden's better than Beal. Harden is more like it. Well, that's two MVPs, of course. Yeah. How about AD? What did AD ever do? And I know he's like technically a power forward a lot of the time, but like Tim Duncan, if you are like 7 feet tall and you block shots, like you can defend the rim and rebound, okay, you don't want to call him a center or whatever. He's a big. Basically a five. Even if he's not banging down low. It's not the game anymore. Tim Duncan had another big as good as him in David Robinson, right? And later on had, you know, Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili. Neither one quite on Duncan's level, but there were two of them. And then Kawhi later on. AD never did anything in the playoffs. He had good teams. Drew Holiday is a baller. Drew Holiday's not on that level. When he got with LeBron, they won. And those are two, might be the two best players in the game. Those are two MVP caliber players, same team. Giannis needs another MVP caliber player. What if they got Chris Paul and someone else? Maybe, but it's not quite MVP. Harden's an MVP caliber player. Harden and Giannis, yep, that's something. Very interesting from Bart Scott. As the Houston Rockets navigate an offseason of major changes, a new challenge is emerging for the franchise. The uncertainty of former MVP guards, because they both won one, James Harden and Russell Westbrook. Their futures on the team, sources tell ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski and Tim McMahon. When sources tell, that means, let me just tell you what that is. That is their agents saying, okay, we got to start the process of getting you off this team. It is going to be really hard. Westbrook has an onerous kind of contract, $41 million a year and whatever, a bunch of years. So that offsets some of his value as a player. Harden is going to be really hard to get equal value for. The history of the NBA, whole history of the league. You know who wins the trade? Whoever gets the best player in the trade. If you break it down and trade someone for component parts, it doesn't work out. Well, they traded Shaq, and they got this guy, and Odom, and this one, and that one. Now, come on, man. It's what the late, great Dr. Jerry Buss, the greatest owner by far in the history of American team sports, told Kobe Bryant when Kobe wanted a trade. He said, Kobe, you are a 5-carat diamond. I'm not breaking you up into 5 1-carat diamonds. You see, it's hard. So who do you get back for James Harden? I don't even think it could be straight up with the Bucks. Middleton and Bledsoe in this one. No, you got to flip those guys into stuff that's attractive to Houston. Maybe Houston looks at it and says, we're going to tear it all down, build from scratch. We want to stockpile draft picks, plus get some young ascending players we think might be undervalued. Even then, you trade James Harden. Ooh, it's tough to get equal value. Dr. Pepper, call in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 729-3776. Wait till you hear what Jerry Jones had to say about drafting a quarterback. Frank in Florida, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, what's up, man? Hey, great show, dude.
Thank you.
Hey, I was just wondering, do you think that if both KD and Kyrie are healthy, like, do the Lakers have to get a Chris Paul or a Bradley Beal to beat them? Or are they
no,
better?
No, listen, first of all, if they just have Rondo, like one of these years, the Magic's going to wear out because he gets older. But playoff Rondo is an all-star. He's an all-star caliber player. And why is that? I thought a lot about that. Like, why is it? And I finally figured it out. The playoffs are, like, the players who know all the plays do better in the playoffs. It's a coach's time, right? Plays out of timeout time, preparation time. That's Rondo. He knows all the plays. He's a genius, you know? So it really favors him. And he goes from in the regular season. Listen, in the regular season, I think Rondo's a bad player. I watch him play. I'm like, how is that the same guy? In the playoffs, he's a killer. That's a third all-star. But let's say they lose Rondo. Do they need to bring in someone, a playmaker? Yes, they do. But is it to compete against the Nets? If KD comes back as 100% of himself, which is unlikely, and Kyrie can avoid having a deleterious effect on the chemistry of the team, which is maybe he could do it, but maybe he can't, and it doesn't interfere those two guys, you know, usage rates with the development of LeVert or Dinwiddie, or even if you think LeVert and Dinwiddie are as good as they'll ever be, that's pretty good. It doesn't interfere with their effectiveness as players. Then, yeah, the Nets could be formidable. That's a lot of ifs, a lot of ifs. I expect KD to be more like 80% of himself. I don't know about Kyrie. He's had a bad effect on a lot of different teams' chemistries. And LeVert and Dinwiddie, it seems to me, will be rendered, it's hard to say if they've become less effective players or if it would simply depress their numbers. But I suspect it may be some of both, that it may actually limit their effectiveness as players if they're going to be playing off-ball as much as they're likely to play off-ball. News from Max Kellerman Nation. Frank just hit me up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line.
No bias.
I really like football.
Just facts.
Don't get it crooked here, what I'm saying.
Max's NFL power rankings.
Ooh, I'm getting a lot of questions, Max. They asking how far the Steelers going to move up, but you might have a surprise. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Check still undefeated, yeah.
That's what they all say. That's what they all say. Hey, so last week at number five, just pause while I look this up because I didn't have to check something. Ah, there we go. You had the Packers at number five last week. Max, who you got at number five this week, sir?
Well, I no longer have the Packers. And it is because maybe they moved up for all you know. Who knows, Raj? I'm not going to give it away. I no longer have the Packers. And it is because I don't think they've earned it recently, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I do think another team has earned it recently. And it is a team which I sat on this show and told you, as it relates to Lamar Jackson, it's not. I don't want to hear the excuses, well, when he plays good defenses or good teams, they turn him into a thrower. BS. Know who's a good team? The Colts are a good team. Mm. You think Lamar Jackson's never beaten good teams? I thought he would beat the Colts. No, Lamar Jackson's problem is when the lights shine brightest, when he's playing the team he must beat. Three teams. The Chiefs if you're in the AFC, the Steelers if you're the Ravens with Roethlisberger, and the playoffs. He's 0-6. He's 25-1 otherwise in his career. So, like, that's like we're talking about the playoffs. As of right now in a power rankings, they just beat the Colts, dude. That's a quality win. Ravens are at fives.
Okay, I agree. And that surprised, I think, you and I thought the Colts would do a little. Oh, but you said the Ravens were bounced back. That's right.
Yep.
I thought the Colts would win.
Yep.
All right, number four last week, you had Tom Brady and the Bucks. Well, we saw those guys on national TV get destroyed. So do they stay there or you got a new team at number four?
New team at number four.
Uh-oh.
The Buffalo Bills. The Bills have had a little bit of an uneven season, but I've seen them win games for most of the year where they've kept the opponent's score down. I've now seen them win a shootout kind of game against Seattle, an excellent team. It's a one-loss team. And that one loss, by the way, was to a streaking Arizona team, and it was by one play in overtime. Very close to being an undefeated team. And they had their way with them, man. Russell Wilson got them to within a score late in the third, and I was like, damn, Russ, this feels like a blowout. Nice job. But the Bills pulled away anyway. By the way, I was dying to put the Dolphins in this. Like Miami, I'm just so curious to see how far Tua can take this team. It's a good team. But in the AFC East right now, the Bills are on top. They are the fourth slot.
Okay, and number three last week, you had the Seattle Seahawks, whose defense struggled yet again. So they either stayed there or they moved out. What's up, Max?
It's not the Seahawks, Raj.
Who you got now?
You know, the Saints had a good win against the Bucs, a really good win.
Right,
it's not
right.
The Saints either.
Oh, okay.
It is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You dropped them. You're the only person in America who dropped the Steelers.
I dropped the Steelers one slot. Still a top three team.
Mm-hmm.
But I dropped
them a
slot.
They're undefeated, though, yo. Are you having
trouble
seeing the record?
They're undefeated. They've beaten Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
They struggled mightily to beat the lowly Cowboys. But that's a rivalry game, in fact, even though, you know, different conferences and everything. You know, Steelers-Cowboys go way back. But they slipped to three, and it's not even like I'm holding against them. the way they beat the Cowboys. It's that another team did enough to put them over the Steelers at this moment. And that is, who did I have it to last week, Raj?
You had the Steelers at 2, one of the only people that were didn't have them number 1, so who could possibly be number 2?
The New Orleans Saints.
Wow. They leapfrogged from not even being on there to number 2. I like it.
The Saints were my preseason pick before Seattle got Jamal Adams. The Saints, for years, have missed that number 2 receiver. They have him now, but then they didn't have him because of COVID, right? Yeah. And they didn't have Michael Thomas either. Now they get Thomas back. They get Emmanuel Sanders back. Kamara's balling. Drew Brees, those average yards through the air, right, which were like, oh, my God, this dude's falling off a cliff. No, he's an old quarterback who didn't have any weapons. His arm is not the strongest to begin with. Drew Brees' thing is he's the most accurate guy ever. But take away any kind of threats, what's he going to do? Now give him his players back. The Saints looked, to me, like the class of the NFC. They spanked the Bucs, both sides of the ball. Spanked them, offense and defense. All two phases of the game, Raj. All two phases of the game, they spanked them. By the way, not on special teams, where the Bucs showed them, they kicked the field goal down 35 points. Late in the game. Yeah, special teams really showed them, you're not going to shut us out. The Saints come in 2, which leaves at number 1. Have I even moved them off number 1 since the beginning of the season, Raj?
Nah, you say who's going to beat them, man? Who's going to beat them? You line them up. Who's going to beat Mahomes?
The Kansas City Chiefs. And early on, when people were like, but they had to come back in this game, and they didn't look good in that game. It's my nerd voice. You see?
Yeah.
You know what? Imagine doing power rankings in last year's playoffs. Starting from the very beginning. Well, the Chiefs were down to the Titans. Right? No, first the Texans. I forgot who they played first. The Titans or the Texans first. They were down big to the Texans. Then they were down big to the Titans. Then they were down big to the 49ers. Yes, and all they did was win the Super Bowl. Then they picked up this year where they left off. It's like they play with teams a little bit in the beginning. Like they give them hope a little bit. And then Patrick Mahomes is like, okay, let me wake up and end this little farce. Kansas City Chiefs, best team in football. There it is, Raj.
I'm sneaking a call. Put me up.
You want to sneak one in?
Sneaking a call. You always talk about you're going to do it, but do this real quick. Hang on. Do this real quick. Okay. I'm sneaking a call. See that?
A job well done, Raj, by the Kansas City Chiefs. Staying on top of my power rankings. And I tell you a job well done for a reason, Raj. It's because job well done is brought to you by Napa. Whether you stop by a locally owned Napa Auto Parts, Napa Auto Care, or visit Napa online, if you need help with your ride, you can count on Napa know-how. See that? That's how you do a read, Raj. See how I gave it with feeling I did it.
Yes, you did.
All right, Tony in L.A., you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, this is Tony from L.A. Just wanted to know what you think about Tony La Russa not reaching out to Tim Anderson since he's been signed to the White Sox, and Marcus Stroman's comments today about his reasons of not signing to the White Sox because of Tony La Russa.
Yeah.
And since the Yankees have a vacancy, what do you think is the odds of us not signing DJ LeMahieu and maybe trading for Tim Anderson to be the starting shortstop for the New York Yankees?
Okay, first of all, I don't want to think about not signing DJ LeMahieu. I don't want to hear Hal Steinbrenner talk about economics right now, getting under any cap. Stop it. You have not won the World Series since 2009, during which time the Red Sox have won multiple World Series. Unacceptable. First of all, to answer your question, yes, of course, Tony La Russa is already messing things up. Serves Reinsdorf right. Hear me, Chicago? I know you're mad. 888-SAY-ESPN. If you're in Chicago right now, you call in, I'm going to give you priority. But as far as the Yankees are concerned, LeMahieu has been a revelation. It wasn't just a Coors Field mirage. This dude is an excellent hitter, and he's an excellent defender at multiple positions. The Yankees used to have a guy like that during their heyday in the 50s, the Casey Stengel platoon Yankees, where he would match up righty-righty-left, you know, righty-lefty-lefty-righty lefty, throughout the lineup, and it would keep some guys' stats down individually, but they win the World Series. And Bill James had an excellent article on him and said he probably could have been in the Hall of Fame had he not retired when he got traded. And that's Gil McDougall. Gil McDougall was an excellent player. LeMahieu was like that, a plus defender, a gold glove caliber defender at one position and a plus defender at multiple infield positions. And he's a top 3-4 MVP candidate so far in this 2 years with the Yankees. And they're going to let him go? You got to be out of your mind. It's not an either or if you're the Yankees. Hal, if you want to get things under control and you'd won 2 out of the last 3 World Series, I'd say you save a buck. But this is BS right now if you play the Yankees cheap. And Hal's been excellent. I'm not going to lie. He's been a much more reasonable version of his late father. But that's not good enough. And by the way, Cashman's not good enough either. Cashman's one of the best. But he's not the best. You can't let the Red Sox beat you 4-1 in World Series under your watch since 2004. Can't happen. But it happened. Yes, the Yankees should go after a top shortstop, although they have a guy who can hit like there's no tomorrow, right? But it's not either or. Yankees have a middle infield, but LeMahieu is so versatile. You can keep him as like super utility. Play him at second base, but also move him around. And then you can keep your 22-year-old triple crown threat at short or second. Yeah. Don't start me with the Yankees. We're not on in New York right now, right, Raj? This is our second hour. I'm not going to use all my Yankees stuff now if we're not even on in New York. You can see I get very carried away. Has Jerry finally come around on Dak?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Think I'm wrong on Tony La Russa? That the White Sox should have never hired him and, in fact, now should fire him? Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Ed in Chicago, you're on. Go.
Hey, Max, how you doing?
Go ahead.
Hey, real quick. So a couple points. Tim Anderson, one, the Yankees are never getting him. Remember, yeah. Chicago took a chance and signed him to a quick early contract, saved them money. Smart.
Yep.
Yankees will never get him.
Of course.
Second part. Correct me if I'm wrong. How many rings does Tim Anderson have?
Right, and?
How many will Tony La Russa have? It's been a week. Tony La Russa doesn't owe him a call right now.
Tony La Russa has rings. They were enormous cheaters in Oakland. Everyone knows it, right? There was a huge flashpoint for juicing. Now McDowell's come out and said Tony La Russa instituted sign stealing with the White Sox years ago. That's still not proven or anything, but what interest does McDowell have in saying that? And if you look at the Cardinals, where he also won championships, I just look at the numbers. You had good players on the Cardinals who had always been good players, but they became great offensive players on St. Louis, and I found that curious. They became fundamentally different kinds of offensive players on St. Louis, and I find that curious. This is a guy who wanted to dictate the public political speech of his players, right? They can't be kneeling on my team. I'll tell them to stay in the dugout. But why, La Russa, you're standing. You think it's any different? You're standing is if sitting is political speech, and so is standing. So the players can make political speech during the game, provided it's yours, right, La Russa? Wrong. That's not how it works. And this same guy is falling asleep, you know, has to be woken up by cops at his car, and then he gets a DUI, separate occasions, right? And he hasn't managed in 10 years, and he just was one of the worst executives in baseball. What, Reinsdorf feels guilty about letting him go once upon a time, so he says, to hell with White Sox fans. I'm going to do whatever I want. It's my team. News from Max Kellerman Nation. Ed just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. That's my pause. Now we hear something, or do we not? No. Pause for imaging is being deleted.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why you can't follow this thing, Max. It clearly says after Pepper Line.
Yeah, now
go ahead
it does.
And take another caller, Patrick from Chicago.
But go Patrick ahead, in Chicago, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, I'm right there with you. This Tony Russo guy's got to go. If you wanted to go outside the box, I just gave it away. Ozzie Guillen or A.J. Pierzynski. That's the way they should have went. White Sox fans would have been happy.
You know what's weird about Pierzynski? You know what's weird about Pierzynski? Throughout his entire career, I thought he was underrated. I thought he was underrated in San Francisco. It was always like he seemed to always be available. And I guess because he didn't draw a lot of walks in an era where that was really valued and he wasn't considered this great defender. But I noticed the teams he caught for were good. And he always played, caught 120, 130 games a year. And he hit. He hit in the old days, people used to look at the batting average and the home runs from the catcher position and stuff. And I don't know, Pierzynski would give you 15 homers and hit 280. And I used to think, Pierzynski's a good catcher. I remember when the White Sox picked him up. It was on the cheap, basically, I thought, for a player like him. And he wound up winning the World Series. But I remember the knock against him being he wasn't the kind of guy you wanted on your team. And I always thought that was wrong. I thought Pierzynski was excellent. He'd be an interesting choice for manager, actually. Jerry Jones. Jerry, you got 2 wins on the season. You going to draft a quarterback this year? Jerry, let me try this again. Roger. Jerry, you have 2 wins on the season. Will you draft a quarterback this year?
Right now, it looks like we're in line for the 3rd pick. Now, it could move up, could move down, but if it stays at 3, is it crazy to bring up the idea of taking a quarterback with the 3rd pick or the 2nd pick, if you may have it?
Yes. You asked me if it's crazy to bring the idea up, and I'm answering you, yes. We're playing games here, guys, but it's not the thing to be talking about at all. Dak is our quarterback.
Okay, Dak is your quarterback, but his rookie deal is up. You're going to have to pay him a lot of money. And are you sure he's better than Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields? You're not going to get pick one. You don't pick one. That's going to be the Jets. Let's assume it's Trevor Lawrence. So maybe you pick 2nd or 3rd, and maybe 2nd or 3rd is Justin Fields. Justin Fields is a lot like Dak. But as Ryan Clark said on First Take today, his talent, we don't know about the results yet on the pro level, his talent is pitched higher than Dak. About the same size, but a better athlete, faster with a better arm. I don't know. If you could get a younger, better version of Dak who's much cheaper, why wouldn't you do that? Especially Dak coming off a catastrophic injury. And you could say, well, because with Dak, you know what you have. You're hoping Justin Fields gets to be as good as Dak is right now. There's no guarantee of that. In fact, the odds are long that anyone becomes what Dak is right now. He's a very good quarterback. Okay, but that would be if you thought you were right there. Dak is our guy because we're about to win the Super Bowl. Your offensive line is shot to hell. That's really the strength of your team in recent years. As a result, Ezekiel Elliott's not as good anymore, and Rod just pointed out, he got paid. Does he look the same since? And you don't have a defense. Might as well take the best quarterback on the board. And in terms of, has Jerry finally come around on Dak, they offered him $110 million guaranteed. What do you mean come around? Dak's the one who turned it down. And I didn't think that was a good idea at the time. They played him cheap when he was making $2 million a year. They should have locked him up long-term before this, and they could have gotten him cheaper. But I think the Carson Wentz deal is a bad deal for the Eagles. I think the Goff deal is a bad deal for the Rams. And I think Dak at 110 is bad for the Cowboys. Dak at 110 or Justin Fields at 20? Well, who'd you rather have?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN map, the ESPN app, not ESPN. What's ESPN? The ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80 and your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 729-3776. About to do last take in a second, but I have to tell you something from the previous segment. The Home Depot improves things. This holiday season, the Home Depot improved Black Friday. Instead of one day of crazy, the Home Depot lowered prices now. They'll stay low through December, from decorations to dishwashers, wreaths to ratchet sets. So sleep in. You're not going to miss Black Friday, not one little bit. Black Friday improved. The best prices of the year already at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only, valid through December 2nd. While supplies last, see stores for details.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know I'm First Take. I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
All right, here we go. Roger, I'm very upset about the Yankees. We've been talking during the commercial break, but I'll save that for tomorrow. Dominic in Long Island, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. Go.
Hey, Max, how you doing? Big fan.
Got a
question for you. What's your thoughts on the waiver wire this weekend? David Montgomery down. Obviously, Zeke's on a bye. Need some last-minute fantasy pickups. I'm a little concerned about Patterson sleeping on Montgomery and whatnot. Any other suggestions?
Well, this is what I'll say. I don't off the top of my head, honestly. I haven't even started to think about my DraftKings team yet because Raj has decided we're not going to include Thursday games anymore. So I don't start thinking DraftKings or, you know, and fantasy until like after, you know, once the weekend approaches. But I will say this, what Casey Joyner said about, I think it was it Casey Joyner or Warren Sharp, Raj? I think it was Casey, the football scientist on this show, is that he did his research all the way back to from whenever. And what he found is running backs behind good offensive lines, when they get good run blocking, average like 7+ yards per carry. And the great ones average 10. But great running backs behind bad run blocking are under 3 yards a carry. So like Ezekiel Elliott or whoever's going to run for the Dallas Cowboys right now ain't going to do it. That ain't it. You got to find a running back who's for a team that's been getting good run blocking, especially a guy if you think he's going to get carries. Like this is the research I'll do for my own team after, you know, when the weekend approaches, and probably take him as my flex guy, right? If you're talking about, like, you're talking about waiver wire and stuff for your fantasy team, if you're still playing season-long fantasy, I don't know what to tell you. Raj, do you play season-long football, fantasy football anymore?
You know what kind of nerd I'm in, man. I run 3 other leagues. Yeah, I still like it. There's trades. There's the draft. Still into it.
Once they came out with basically crack, you know, once they came out with with fantasy, daily fantasy in its pure form, that's like fantasy rock. There's nothing I can do. That's what I got to play. Noah in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Max, how you
doing?
Go
ahead, Noah. Good.
I have a big question. Do you think Herbert or Joe Burrow will have the better career in the NFL? I personally think Herbert. I'm a huge Chargers fan, but I want your input unbiased.
I would say, heading into the season, Burrow. Having seen what I saw so far, if I have to pick right now, I got to go with Herbert. Herbert is doing things as a rookie that are actually unusual. I know we're in a passing era. He has weapons. You know, Herbert's doing things unusual. His accuracy down the field, and that's the whole shoot and match, really. It's still, as much as the game has changed, can you be accurate down the field? As much as it's a short pass and it's using your legs, can you be accurate down the field? Boy, Herbert can. He's special. And heading into this year, I'd say if Tua was healthy, I might even take him over Burrow. But because of health, maybe Burrow, Tua, Herbert. Right now, Herbert number one for me. Scott in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max.
What's going on, Scott? Yep, here I am.
Are you there?
There's me, here's me, and here's you. What's up, Scott?
Okay, so one, big man to win an NBA championship. Bird, what do you have? Parrish, McHale, not dominant. Detroit, Van Beer, just a big bully, not dominant. Not like a Jabbar, not like a Chamberlain, not like a Shaq. You don't need a big to win the championship.
No, you don't.
Two, Kiko Russo, he's a winner. And three, did you see that hole-in-one, the three-skipper at the practice round from Rome?
I don't even know what language you just spoke. What did he say, Raj, at the end?
I think he mentioned one of the sports is this. Yes, there's a big tournament coming up, you know, yeah.
Listen, number one, you don't need a dominant big to win. But if you have one, you try to win with him, right? So you have Giannis, figure out how to win. Number two, keep La Russa, he's a winner. Hasn't been a winner in 10 years. And La Russa was a bad executive. NBA offseason getting heated up finally. Max Kellerman, Show, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.